When you put these kinds of boundaries in place for your meetings, you have meetings that are worth your time, they're productive, satisfying, and increase morale. They're purposeful and contribute to the organization's mission. And that means people are not going to be fucking drained from them all the time. Whereas when you have meetings that don't have these kinds of boundaries, they're a waste of time, unproductive, and dissatisfying. They may lower morale and probably drain people's energy and give them fodder for bitching and complaining.
Hi, I'm Barb Nangle. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Fragmented to Whole, Life Lessons from 12-Step Recovery, where I help people heal their emotional, psychological, and spiritual wounds and make deep, lasting changes in their lives. I'm the founder and CEO of Higher Power Coaching and Consulting. I'm a boundaries coach who specializes in helping women who are focused on what others are thinking and doing and neglect themselves in the process. And I have coached hundreds of people on how to build healthy boundaries using my exclusive Build framework. On this podcast, I share my experience, strength, and hope from recovery. I don't support or endorse any particular 12-step recovery fellowship, and I don't claim to speak for any particular 12-step fellowship. I also don't believe that 12-step recovery is the only way to recover. You might need additional help. I'm an avid beachcomber who collects sea glass, shells, wood, and stones. I am a formerly closeted fan of the Hallmark Channel, especially the Christmas movies. Hello, Christmas in July. I wear fingerless gloves from September to June because my hands are always cold, so I have about 15 pairs. And I get a huge kick out of counting how many days, weeks, and months there are until my birthday or Christmas at completely random times of the year. My hope is that you'll find my words concretely helpful in improving your life, whether you're in recovery or not. If you like what you've heard on this episode, please screenshot it and share it on your social media and tag me at Higher Power Coaching.
This is episode 258, How to Go from Overwhelm to Ease, Transforming Work-Life Balance with Boundaries, Part 3. I finished those last two episodes about achieving work-life balance with boundaries, and I realized I have a whole shitload of things that I didn't share. So I decided to tack on part 3 because these are some of the things that I've learned since I've been in recovery that helped me to balance my work life, both when I worked full-time at Yale and now that I have my own business. So if you didn't listen to episodes 256 and 257, you might want to go back and do that so you can hear some of the other things I suggested. One thing that I have struggled with since I started this podcast is the idea that I want my content to be evergreen. In other words, it shouldn't matter when somebody listens to it. Whatever they're hearing should be relevant to them at the time, which means not talking about things that are currently happening in my life or in my business and just sharing stuff that's going to be helpful to them at any time. Now, after having a few different conversations with other podcasters recently, I realized that I was thinking in a very black and white way about that. So I'm changing that up, and you may have noticed lately that I've been talking more about things that are currently happening or about to happen, some of which have to do with my business. Well, this is one of those non-evergreen things. This is the first episode I'm recording after I got back from my trip to Mexico, which was my first international trip, and it was really difficult for me. Yes, I had a lovely time with my friend at her wedding, and I absolutely loved seeing her and spending time with her, and I got to see some incredible natural beauty, but the trip was very hard for me, partly because I'm in recovery for compulsive eating, and I plan, measure, and track my food, and I often didn't know where my next meal was coming from or what it was going to be since I don't know some of the foods. Plus, I don't eat meat at this time, so that complicates things further. To have no plan every single day for 7 days after 8 years of, you know, having a really regimented food plan, which works for me, by the way. So that was rough. Then my flight there was delayed by 4 hours. So when I got to my room, it was 2:45 a.m. local time, which was 4:45 a.m. my time. So my sleep was off for much of the week. In fact, I just got up from a nap because my sleep is still off. Now, to have those two things that are foundational to live, sleep and food, be off was rough. Then there's the fact that I don't know the language and I don't know the culture. And the hacienda where I stayed the first 3 nights was this huge compound, and it was very difficult for me to find my way around. So everything was really disconcerting and it sucked. That was my experience. And it's too bad that was my first international trip experience, but it's not going to dissuade me from taking future international trips. Of course, everybody that knows I went has been asking how Mexico was. And I'm like, yeah, it was really difficult. And it's not what they're expecting. I suspect I will do an episode specifically about my experience, because it would have been 10 times worse if I hadn't been in recovery. I now know to take really good care of myself, to reach out for help and support. I meditated multiple times a day, and I said no to things I really didn't want to do. One of my friends from recovery actually suggested today that one way for me to process the experience is to sort of think of it like a step 4 and 5 process. Because as adult children, we weren't heard when it came to things we struggle with. And I get to feel the feelings and share them. And it might be helpful to do that in a structured way like the steps. I love that idea of having that kind of structure around it. So I may do that and share that on an episode. The other thing that I want to mention is that I was in a training about podcasting, and somebody talked about how they do live coaching on their podcast episode sometimes. And I may have thought of this before, but I just sort of assume that people don't want to have their coaching be broadcast on a podcast because sometimes some really personal stuff comes up. Well, the way that the speaker handled that is that the people are anonymous. They either don't say their name at all, or maybe they say their first name. So I'm going to throw it out there. If you think that you would be willing to do a live coaching session on a call with me that I record and use for the podcast, send me an email or DM me on Instagram. So email is barb@higherpowersdc.com, and I'm at Higher Power Coaching on Instagram. Now, I'm not going to make any guarantees here, but I would love the opportunity for people to be able to hear publicly what coaching is like with me. Though, of course, it's different in every session. The way I think about my coaching is that when clients are talking about their situations, it's almost like I can lift up the rug and see under the rug of what they're saying. So I can pull things out that they don't even know that they're revealing, so we can deal with them. So I help you see what you can't see. When others hear that happening, like on a podcast episode, for example, it will be helpful to them to hear about themselves. And it will give people an opportunity to see, oh, this is what coaching with Barb would be like or could be like. With my private clients and my group clients that have ongoing coaching with me, I do have a curriculum that structures our work, but the bulk of what we talk about is what's going on in their everyday relationships, lives, situations, workplace, etc. All that kind of stuff. So it's not always about the exact topic for the week, though it could be. I want to entertain the possibility of doing coaching sessions for free that would be recorded for the podcast. But if nobody's interested in doing it, then I won't. If it's something you'd be interested in, let me know and I'll consider it. All right, so now to the evergreen portion of the show, which is more about how to go from overwhelm to ease with work-life balance by using boundaries. What I hear regularly from people that work in jobs where meetings are part of their work life is how fucking draining meetings can be, because so many times they're a waste of everybody's time. Here are some suggestions to implement boundaries around meetings. They should start and end on time, maybe even end early if everything has been covered. That is respectful of the people in the meeting. Meetings that have a purpose that's aligned with the goals of the business or the business unit, that's really important. Those are called boundaries. I know I've been to a lot of meetings that were unnecessary because nobody had any updates. It was just like, this is what we do. We have meetings every Wednesday. I'm also a huge proponent of having an agenda for a meeting that's prepared and distributed ahead of time. And then possibly also having space to ask in the meeting if anyone wants to add anything to the agenda. And then whoever's facilitating the meeting should stick to the agenda. If others go off on a tangent, even if it's something that's later on the agenda, the facilitator would hold the boundary and say, we're going to get to that later. Or if it's not on the agenda, they could say, we can add that on the end if there's time. These are all boundaries for meetings. Another boundary is to not invite people who are not relevant to the topic. I remember being in a meeting with about 12 people, and 3/4 of the meeting was the director of the project and the director of evaluation talking about something that nobody else was involved in. There was no reason to have that many people in the room and be paying all those salaries for this private conversation between these two people. Another thing you can do is have ad hoc meetings rather than only having pre-scheduled meetings. I know the places that I've worked, we have often had standing meetings like the second and fourth Wednesdays or every Wednesday or something like that. Having an ad hoc meeting, which is like an as-needed meeting, which involves only the people who need to be there, is an option. And I found that to be really helpful when I started building healthy boundaries and I was still at Yale. So rather than waiting until the whole larger team meeting happens and talking about something that only pertains to 3 people on the team, we'd have an ad hoc meeting with those folks and it lasted as long as necessary. So if we only needed 10 minutes, that's what we did. Sometimes that's the best solution because you're not wasting people's time. And when you have meetings like this that are purposeful, you get shit done. And that is energizing, not draining. When you put these kinds of boundaries in place for your meetings, you have meetings that are worth your time, they're productive, satisfying, and increase morale. They're purposeful and contribute to the organization's mission. And that means people are not going to be fucking drained from them all the time. Whereas when you have meetings that don't have these kinds of boundaries, they're a waste of time, unproductive, and dissatisfying. They may lower morale and probably drain people's energy and give them fodder for bitching and complaining. All right, so those are a whole bunch of ways to put some boundaries in place to balance your work life through meetings. Here's a boundary. If you're sick, don't go to work. The reason that workplaces have sick time is so that people will rest and take care of themselves so they can recuperate and get energized and so they don't get other people sick. And when they come back to work, they can be at their best. So that's a boundary for you. Here are some boundaries of self-containment for the workplace. These are things that you either need to contain or stop doing. And hands down, these were the most impactful boundaries everywhere in my life, not just in the workplace. They're things I didn't even know were options to not do. If you're constantly giving unsolicited advice or assistance to other people at work, especially if they're not listening or following through, stop doing it. It's draining your energy. If you're insisting that things be done your way and you feel like you have to keep going back and making sure people are doing things the way you said, stop fucking doing that because it's a drain on your energy and it's probably pissing everybody off that's around you as well. If you're like me, I was constantly creating forms and procedures for people to follow, and nobody fucking followed them. The whole time I was blaming them, like, what the hell's the matter with them? And I didn't realize until I got into recovery that the reason nobody was following them was because they weren't helpful or I was just being controlling. Another thing you can do to stop the drain on your energy is to stop jumping in to help other people before your work is done. I used to do that all the time, and it was very difficult for me to get any large projects of my own done because I was constantly dropping whatever I was doing to help other people. It's fine to help other people from time to time, but it's not fine to neglect your own work because that's a drain on your energy. 2 other boundaries that have really helped me with my work-life balance have to do with managing my time. I only instituted these in the last 6 years since I've had my own business. They're time blocking and the Pomodoro technique. Time blocking is the idea where you set aside time to work on specific things for specific periods of time during the week. For example, I have time set aside to write my newsletter, to create my podcast content, etc. I can move a whole bunch of areas forward in my business at the same time because I don't need to wait until something is completely done, because I know I'll come back to it in the next time block. What this has done for me has been amazing. Previously, I'd often be worried about all the things I wasn't doing, But when I have a time block that's dedicated to something, I don't have this sort of vague guilt that I should or could be doing something else. I know it's okay for me to work on this because this is the time I specifically set aside for this. Then there's the Pomodoro technique. This has been a fucking game changer for me. And it's also helped me with this sort of guilt thing or this constant perseverating, like I should be doing something else. The way the Pomodoro technique works is that you have a 25-minute chunk of time and then you take a break for 5 minutes. This gives your brain a break and allows you to think more clearly. This really helps me a lot because it helps me with singularity of focus. When I'm able to focus and get into flow, I am so much more productive. I no longer go down a bunch of rabbit holes that distract me. I stay on topic. This is so much less draining than being pulled in 15 different directions all the time. So I pair the Pomodoro technique with time blocking. It's been an enormous relief for me. It helps me get so much more done in less time. And if that ain't a way to create balance in your work life, I don't know what is. All right, that's it for this three-part series. I would love to hear from you. What is the tip or trick or mindset shift that I've shared in this three-part series that's been most helpful to you? Drop me a line and let me know. If you're ready to finally have an enjoyable, relaxing summer doing things you really want to do instead of always following other people's agendas, I have some openings for private clients right now. If you are really tired of saying yes to things you really don't want to do and being overly accommodating to others, this is for you. It's time to start accommodating yourself. Maybe you're dissatisfied with your relationships and overwhelmed with all kinds of difficult feelings because of your interactions with others. If you'd like to get your life in order before the summer hits, go to barbchat.net and sign up for a free 30-minute call with me about my private coaching so we can get started right away. That way, you'll be done by summer. This is for people who are finally ready to make deep, lasting changes in their relationship patterns, including their relationships with themselves, their partners, family, friends, and colleagues. Go to barbchat.net. If you like this podcast, and I'm guessing you did or you wouldn't still be listening, then you're gonna love the other things I have to offer. If you'd love pre-release podcast scripts and episodes before anyone else gets them, or if you'd love access to content from my private vault that I developed exclusively for my private clients, which is like having a work session with me without me actually being there, go to patreon.com/higherpowercoaching. There are three tiers ranging from as low as $4 up to $24 a month. You'll also love my weekly newsletter, Friday Fragments, which has content very similar to the podcast. You can check it out at fridayfragments.news. That's fridayfragments.news. Please like and subscribe to my podcast on your favorite podcast outlet. I'd also love it if you'd leave a review, which you can do either in the show notes or on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find my podcast so they can get the benefits you've gotten from listening. If someone came to mind when you listened to this particular episode, please share it with them. And my favorite place to hang out on social media is Instagram. I'm at Higher Power Coaching. Please DM me there. I'd love to hear what you got from this episode. I run group and private coaching programs on building healthy boundaries. Whether you need help with boundaries in your personal, professional, or romantic life, I can help. Head on over to barbchat.net, where you can hop onto my calendar for a free 30-minute Better Boundaries consultation. My ideal client is someone who is ripe for change. If that's you, I would love to work with you. My goal with all my work is to help you make lasting changes in your life like I've made deep, lasting changes in my life. Remember, it's never too late to recover. No one is beyond hope, and healing is possible. Thanks for listening.